Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Paul's writing here, and he says, and starting at verse 16, he says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, and I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help me just get through this here, Lord, and preach clearly, and Lord, that you'll be glorified in it. Lord, certainly we're thankful for guiding us on Brother Gomez, and Lord, I just pray that you'll be with him as he travels around the United States, Lord, to raise more support for his work down there in Mexico. And Lord, I appreciate and thank you, Lord, for allowing this church to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that, you'll just speak to us through your message, through your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, oftentimes, things don't always go as planned. Have you ever noticed that? That, you know, like for instance, you know, we have 28 people signed up for the rafting trip. Now, when we put this thing together, or I should say when the Hansons put all this thing together, it was about 90 degrees outside. It ain't going to be 90 degrees come Saturday. You know, so it may be a little cooler. Now, I say we still go. But that still, it means that things don't always go as planned. Amen? I mean, we had it planned for everybody to go and maybe toss a couple people in. That's probably not going to happen now. But things don't always go as planned. You know, sometimes things don't go as planned, and sometimes things even go worse than what we had planned. Sometimes things get so bad that we come to what we call dead ends. You say, what in the world are dead ends? Dead ends are when things look hopeless. Have you ever had a situation in life where things just appeared to be hopeless? You didn't think that there was just any way possible that you could ever get out of that situation. Well, those dead ends, those hopeless situations can sometimes show up at your job. Sometimes they can show up in our finances. Sometimes they can show up in our relationships. We can run across really hopeless situations in any parts of our life. And when we run across those seemingly hopeless situations, it's then that we pray to God that he'll give us a miracle, that he'll make things right. And that's usually the way it works. We wait till we get to those situations, and then we ask God to get us out of them. The question is what do you do when you come to one of those situations? Now, certainly we all pray, but what else do you do? What do you do when you come to a situation where you want something to happen so bad, and you got a situation where it just doesn't seem, it seems like everything you try to do to make this thing happen, it's just not going to happen, it seems like. It just seems like you never get to the point where you feel like you're taking two steps forward and three steps back, and you just want to get the situation resolved, and you want to fix the situation, but it just seems you just can't fix it. It doesn't matter how hard you try. Well, this is kind of what we run across, and certainly this is really the situation that Abraham ran across here when we're reading about here in Romans chapter 4. You know, quite simply, whenever we run across a situation like that to where we can't fix it, we're at the end of our rope, we need to do exactly what Abraham did here when he faced this hopeless situation. Now, we all know the story of Abraham very well. I mean, if you've read your Bible at all, you know the story of Abraham. You know he's mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 11. You know he's mentioned in much of the book of Genesis. And we know that Abraham was called to leave his home there in Ur. He was about 75 years old when he was called to leave Ur. And Ur, by the way, is present-day Iraq. Really beautiful part of the country. I mean, today, I'm being sarcastic. But that's what it would be. It would be modern-day Iraq. And so here was a 75-year-old man who was asked to leave. He was asked to leave everything he knew, everything that he was familiar with, everything he was comfortable with, and go to a place he had never been, a place that he didn't even know the location of, and he was to trust God to provide for him and guide him on the way. And you say, boy, that takes a lot of faith. Yes, that's the reason why Abraham is mentioned so much as a man of faith, is because that's what he did. And not only that, but God also promised him that he would have a son, that and through that son many nations would be blessed. Yet when Abraham reached the age of 99, there had still not yet been a son born. And it would certainly seem that at that point, he was facing somewhat of a hopeless situation. Now, we also know that Abraham kind of messed up, and he decided he was going to help out God some. And so, you know, him and Hagar had a child, Ishmael. We know that happened. But that's not the way God planned it. And if anything, that teaches us that God never needs our help. And whenever we try to insert our will in there, we always mess things up. You think about how much this world has suffered since Abraham did what he did there, and the problems we have today because of that. You know, it's never a good thing when we start to insert our will into it. We need to just trust God. But here, Abraham, he had wanted his own son. He had wanted an heir, and it seemed like he just couldn't have that son born. Here he is at 99 years old. His wife is getting older. And so it seems like he's at a situation where it just seems hopeless. How do you handle a situation like that? I mean, how do you handle a situation where it's seemingly hopeless? I mean, we've all faced those dead ends in our lives where we face, you know, tough times, and we'll face many more situations where the situation seems hopeless. How do we handle those times? What do we do? Well, we all should handle them just like Abraham handled them. Now, how did Abraham handle these situations? In other words, now he had the promise, and God told him, I'll give you a son. But, you know, by the time he starts, after he celebrates his 99th birthday, do you think he's saying, I wonder when that's going to come? You ever prayed for something, and it seemed like it never came to pass? And you keep on thinking, well, Lord, how come you're not answering my prayers? You know what we do? The hardest thing for us to do is to be patient and wait. That is the hardest thing for us to do. In fact, it's so hard for us to do that sometimes when the Lord wants us to wait, we think that he's not answering our prayers or that he's saying no. But that's not always the case. You know, sometimes when we pray for something, it may be the Lord's will for you to have it, but not right now. How many of you understand there are some things that you can't handle right now that maybe 10 years from now you can handle it? You know, sure. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, God knows what you can handle now. God already knows that. And so you may pray for something, and you may want something so bad, but then when you pray for it and you don't get it, you may become discouraged. And you may even get to the point where you try to take matters into your own hands and you try to get it. You know, I've talked to people who were called into ministry, and they weren't ready to be in the ministry yet. But yet they took it in their own hands, and then they got in and they messed things up because they didn't wait upon the Lord. I've talked to people who moved to other places. And you can always tell when they say, well, you know what, I pray about me moving. And I'll say, well, have you found a church? Well, we're moving. And when I get there, hopefully we'll find a church. No, you should find a church before you move. Amen? I mean, that's one of those things that you should do. And so there are a lot of times that God will tell us to wait, but we're impatient. And so what did Abraham do when he come to this point where he's 99 years old, his wife is getting older, and the promised son hadn't been given yet? What did he do in that situation when things seemed hopeless? Well, the first thing that Abraham did, according to here in Romans chapter 4, is Abraham remembered what God can do. He remembered what God can do. Look, if you would, at verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Do you realize that there is nothing that God can't do? I mean, there is nothing. I mean, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Nothing he can't do. And notice here in our text here that it names two specific things that only God can do. It says, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Do you realize it's only God who can give life to the dead? Amen. It's only God. That's the reason why when Jesus Christ arose from the dead, that's the reason it means so much. Don't you realize that when he come up out of that grave, that proves that he's God? Why? Because he came up out of the grave. Nobody there rose him. He came out. Only God can give life to the dead. May I tell you that one of these days you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Now, the Lord doesn't come back and get us at the rapture. One of these days we're all going to die. But if you're a Christian, you don't have anything to worry about. Why? Because you're a son of God. And even though you will die, he quickeneth the dead. You're going to come alive one of these days. Amen? And up out of the grave, you're going to come. And so it's only God who can give life to the dead. And not only that, according to this, it's only God who can call into being things that do not exist. I tell you what, when you think about God, it blows science away. You see, science says that the only way that you can have, that you cannot create energy. Every energy is created by another energy force. But you know what? God, all he has to do is to speak something into existence. Who else can do that? Just speak it and there it is. I can't do that. No man can do that, but God can. He's the only one that can. He can speak something that does not exist into existence. And so he says here, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. No man can do these things. With God, there's nothing that's impossible. But when we come to these hopeless situations, we consider them hopeless because of what we consider we're able to do and able not to do. That's when whenever you come across a hopeless situation, the only reason you think it's hopeless is because you're looking at what your abilities are. And you say, well, it's hopeless. We say, I've done all I can do. I don't know what else to do. We come to the end of our rope and we say, I've tried everything. Have you been there? Or you've just tried everything? It doesn't seem to work? You know what the problem is? That you're trying everything. Why? Because we're not supposed to rely on our power. We're supposed to rely on God's power. May I tell you that every time that you try everything, well, you're going to fail. But when you rely on God's power, that's when things get done. Here he's talking about how God is able to do everything. And Abraham remembered what God can do. When he got to the point, and he says, wait a second, I'm 99 years old. And I'm sure that some of his friends were saying, Abraham, you're 99 years old and you're going to have a child? Come on. And your wife, she's older and she's going to have a child? Get real. But you know what Abraham says? Abraham says, I'm going to trust in a God who can do anything. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks can be done. It doesn't even matter what I think that can be done. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with God. So when you get to a situation where you think it's absolutely hopeless, it's never hopeless. Not as long as you trust God. Because God can always show a miracle. You know, there are people today that don't believe God can do miracles anymore. But may I tell you, God can still do miracles. God can do anything he wants to do. He's God. And you know what? God can make anything happen. And so when Abraham got to the point to where he was 99 years old and people probably telling him that his situation was hopeless, he just decided he's just going to remember what God can do. In Luke 18:27, Jesus said this. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God specializes in the impossible. We serve a great God, and there's nothing too hard for him. So the first thing that we want to do when we reach those hopeless situations in our lives where we think that there's just no way that anything like this could ever happen and there's nothing else I can do about it, is just remember what all God can do. And I'll tell you this, folks, I think that's probably the thing that I don't think we forget it. I think sometimes it just goes right past our mind and we never really think about it. Just how powerful and just how mighty God really is. I mean, you know, sometimes we think that he can't handle our finances. We think that he can't handle the problems in our life. But yet, he could part the Red Sea and he could speak this world into existence. And he could save your soul from hell for eternity. He can put the devil down in a bottomless pit and put a seal over him for 1,000 years where he can't come out. Do you realize the God you serve? And then we worry about situations that we can't handle. Again, the reason we worry is because we can't handle it. That's exactly right, but God can handle it. And so the first thing we want to do when we reach those hopeless situations in our life or what we think are hopeless situations is to remember exactly what God can do. Another thing that we are to do when it comes to those hopeless situations in life is that we are not only to remember what God can do, but we also need to recall what God has said. We need to recall what God has said. even though Abraham at one time had been promised a son, and now he's 99 years old, the son hadn't come yet, I suppose the devil was trying to get Abraham to doubt God's promise. I suppose that he was probably whispering in his ear, saying, you know what, you can't count on God. Yea, hath God said. How many? You realize that the devil still whispers that in your ear, too. You say, I don't believe that. Really, do you ever worry? Am I the only one here that ever worries? May I tell you, worry is a sin, by the way. That which is not of faith is sin. And when you worry, when you worry, basically what you're saying is, I don't have faith in God that he can handle the situation. Now, that's what worry is. But we've all been guilty of worry. We all worry. We all worry because we think that something's going to happen, you know, tomorrow. May I tell you that tomorrow has enough evil of itself. Listen, you know what we do, honestly? Whenever we start worrying about tomorrow, we start to borrow problems from tomorrow and apply it to us today. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got enough problems today. I don't need to borrow any from tomorrow. Amen? Most of everything's going to happen tomorrow you can't control anyway. But what we do is we start to worry about tomorrow. We start to worry about these things that's going to happen. We start to worry about these situations where we think that they're meaningless. But when we do, we need to do what Abraham did, and that is recall what God said. Look, if you would, at verse 18. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. When it seemed to Abraham, when it seemed to him that things were impossible, when it seems that there was no way he could have a son at 99, Abraham believed in hope according to that which is spoken. He was basically saying, if God said it, it has to be true. When everybody else was saying, Abraham, you're too old. And it says here, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, when everybody was against him, and when the facts were against him, and science was against him, and everything about him having this child, what he did, rather than saying, you know what, it's just there's just no way that I'm going to have a child. No, he didn't do that. What he said was this: even though I'm 99 years old, if God said I'm going to have a child, then I'm going to have a child. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. People in today's society will laugh at you for having that type of attitude. When you come up and say that, you know, when we start talking as Christians, if you really want to be sneered at and people make fun of you, you start talking about the second coming of Christ. And you get in front of people and you start saying, the Lord's going to come back one of these days. One of these days he's going to come back and you'll answer to God. You'll stand before him. You'll stand before his throne. People will mock at you. People mock at you. They don't believe that. They'll say, yes, but, you know, science has said we've all come from monkeys, so the Bible isn't true. What do we say? Yes, but God, it's God who created the heaven and the earth. You see the difference between us and the world? You know what we're doing? We're hanging with what God said. And we believe every word that God said. They're trusting in their own wisdom. They're trusting in worldly wisdom. That's what they're trying. But we're sticking with God. Amen? Now listen, we believe that in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Amen? Well then, how come we have a problem believing what God said when it comes to us, you know, day-to-day lives? We start to worry about, boy, you know, with gas prices going up to 50, you know, 40 cents, and, you know, and things starting to go up, and the world getting worse and worse. Sometimes we start to have this lack of faith. Well, wait a second. Did God promise that he would take care of you? Well, now we believe that when he spoke this world into existence, but now we don't believe in his promises. You see how we get some? We know what we do. We cherry pick things in the Bible. That's what we do. We pick those little things that we like. Oh, that's really good. That's a great promise there. I'll hang on to that. Oh, that's a great promise there, and I can believe that. But then those other promises, we don't want to hang on to those because we think that we're in charge somehow. But the truth of the matter is this: if God made a promise, every single promise in that Bible will come to pass. And that Bible says that he takes care of his own, that he provides for us. He's going to do it. And it doesn't matter if you think, well, how am I going to pay my bills? God will take care of it. Yeah. How am I going to raise my children? God will take care of it. How my children, they're out on their own and they're messing up from time to time. Turn them over to God. God will take care of it. Listen, folks, there are things in this life that you cannot do. You can't. Listen, how many of you understand you can't live the lives of your children for you, for them? You know, I've got one that's 22 years old. He's getting ready to be married to a wonderful lady, and he's going to be married December 16th. But you know what I learned? I learned quite a while ago that after he moved out of the house, I've just got to turn him over to the Lord. Why? He's his own man. You know, I raised him the best I possibly could, and then now I just turn him over to the Lord. You know what? And I really believe the Lord's going to take care of him. Why? Well, he's a Christian the same as I am, and God said he would. Amen? So I'm just going to trust what God said. That's what Abraham did. He said, listen, I'm 99 years old, and Sarah, she's getting on up there too, and even though people are laughing at us, and so when we say we're going to have a child, well, God said so. So therefore, it has to be. That's exactly the way we're supposed to do it. Whenever we come up to a situation that we think is hopeless, you know, sometimes you just have to say, in fact, all the times, you have to say, you know, if God said it, it's just going to happen. You know, I prayed about it, and I asked God to answer. I don't want you to raise hands here, but I don't want you to think about this. We pray for people, and some of those people that we pray for on that list, on that prayer list, are in very, very bad health situations. You know of people who are in very bad health situations that aren't even on that list. Sometimes when we pray not really believing that the Lord's going to heal them because it's so bad. You know, like this morning, Brother Kenny was talking about his sister-in-law, Sharon. Hospice is now, you know, has come in, and it looks like it's at the end of her life. But that's not necessarily true. If God wants to heal her, and it's God's will to heal her, she'd be healed right now. How many of you actually believe that? See, the problem is we say we do, but a lot of times we don't really believe that. With God, all things are possible. And God can do anything he chooses to do. Every choice that he makes is absolutely perfect. Now, if he doesn't heal a person, then that's God knows what's best. He understands what's best for us. And we don't always get what we want. Thank goodness. We don't always get the things that we want, but he always takes care of us, and he always makes the best decisions for us. But we must believe that everything that we pray will come to pass. Why? Because that Bible says if you ask according to his will and believe that he will answer that prayer, he will answer it. Now, I totally believe that. But there are times in my life whenever I run across those seemingly hopeless situations that sometimes my feeling on that starts to shake a little bit. And I start to say, Lord, answer that prayer. Lord, please answer that prayer. And sometimes I'm not really thinking he will. That's no way to be at all. Abraham here was 99 years old. And he was told he was going to have a child. And he hadn't had it yet. His wife hadn't had a child yet. He's 99. He's thinking, okay, I'm going to celebrate my birthday here in about 2 months. This will be 100 years old. But you know what he said? Well, I guess if I make it to 120, I hadn't got a child yet. He'll come when I'm 120 then. Why? He believed what God said. So whenever we run across those situations, that's what we have to do too. We have to believe God. We have to recall what he said. And we have to believe that what he said is absolutely true. That's why Paul said in Romans 8:24, he says, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? And instead of relying upon his senses, Abraham trusted what God said. He focused on what God had promised. So even, do you realize that even after Abraham's son was born, over in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice even then. Now let me ask you something. Do you think that would be considered a hopeless situation for most people? I mean, he waited until he was 99 years old to have a son. And then once God gives him a son, then God says, okay, I want you to take him up on a mountain here. I want you to kill him and sacrifice him for me. And don't you know, he was thinking, oh, man. If it were one of us, we'd be like, what do I do now? I mean, I just got my son. What am I supposed to do now? You know what Abraham did? He still believed what God said. Even then, he still believed. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you. Hebrews chapter 11, even after God gave him the son at 100 years old, that son grew up to a young man, God said, take him up on a mountain and sacrifice him. And Abraham didn't even flinch. Now, most of us would have been crying and throwing fits and everything else, but Abraham didn't flinch. In Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now watch, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Now here's what's so amazing about that. Abraham believed God so much that, you know, back there when God gave him the promise that says, you know, I'm going to give you a son and through your son many nations will be blessed. And Abraham absolutely believed God's word on that. I mean, absolutely believed it. So much so that after he got his son Isaac, and Isaac started to grow up some, God says, okay, I want you to take him up on that mountain. I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham believed God's promise way back here when he said, I'm going to give you a son and through him all nations will be blessed. He believed it so much that he said, okay, God, I'll take my son up here and I'll sacrifice him. And when he dies, you're going to have to bring him back to life in order to keep your promise. So he didn't even flinch. He said, okay, we're going to go right up here and we're going to do it just like God said. Because God doesn't lie and he doesn't break promises. And you know what? His promise hasn't come to pass yet. So sure, I'll go up here and I'll sacrifice him right now. Not a big deal, because God will have to bring him back to life. That's how much he believed God. Do you believe God that much tonight? I mean, do you believe God that much that no matter what promise, you know, that no matter what promise he has in that Bible, you are 100% sure that it's going to come to pass? I would venture to say that most of us probably don't have that type of faith. But you can. Abraham did. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Have you ever thought about what kind of faith it would take? Just put yourself in Abraham's position just for a second. And remember, now, God told you that your son or daughter is going to be blessed at a certain time. And then God tells you, okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son and daughter, and I want you to kill your son and daughter, and then offer them a sacrifice. How many of you would say, okay? We probably wouldn't, would we? But Abraham did. He was more than willing to, all right? Now, I'll show you another place where it shows just how absolutely sure that he was. Turn over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now, this near Genesis chapter 22 is actually where he's getting ready to go up on the mountain. He's getting ready to offer Isaac up on the mountain for a sacrifice. And in Genesis chapter 22. And I want you to notice just what he says in one verse here. They're getting ready. They're loading up all the wood for the sacrifice. And they're getting all the animals ready. And they're getting ready to haul all the wood up there on top of the mountain so he can offer the sacrifice to the Lord there with Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 22, I want you to pay attention exactly what Abraham says in verse 5. He tells those people standing there, he says, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now look what he says right after that. And come again to you. Do you realize what he just said? He said, listen, me and Isaac, we're going to go. Now, he knew that he was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He says, okay, me and Isaac, we're going to go up on this mountain here, and we're going to do the sacrifice. And when it's over with, we're both going to come back down this mountain alive. But he knew he was going to offer him as a sacrifice. What kind of faith is that? I mean, he just told those people, listen, you see us alive now, you'll see us alive once we're done too. Because God doesn't break his promises. And so all the way through here, you can see that Abraham was a great man of faith, but he was a great man of faith because he believed what God said. He believed what God said. He rested upon it. All right, another thing that we are to do whenever we get to those hopeless situations in life is not only remember what God can do, not only recall what God has said, but also we are to resist the facts with faith. Now here's what we do. We look at the facts and we stick with the facts and we say, no, the facts are this and the facts are that. And we think that somehow or another that facts are what's going to determine the outcome. That's not always so. That's not always so. You know, what we consider facts, God can change the facts. Amen? Anytime he wants to. But we need to, just like Abraham did, we need to resist the facts with faith. Back in Romans chapter 4, look if you would at verse 19. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Those were the facts. The facts were that he's old and Sarah's old and way too old to have children, I mean, according to the facts. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, it really didn't matter to Abraham what the facts were. It doesn't matter to Abraham what the medical magazine said or what the doctor said. It didn't matter. He said, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to have faith in God. You know, some people believe that faith is just simply pretending that there's no problem. But we're not to pretend that there's no problem. We face problems every day. And we're not supposed to pretend there's no problem by denying the facts. We are to confront and challenge the facts, though, with faith. And you can never, ever let facts, don't ever get to the point where you think that the facts can trump God. God can overcome the facts. God can change the facts. God can pull off miracles that science can't even explain. God can do those things. And in spite of the facts, the fact that he was too old to have a child, the fact that Sarah, his wife, was too old to have a child, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, he didn't let the facts overcome his faith in God. Faith does not deny difficulties, and Abraham never denied his circumstances. Instead, he faced those difficulties with faith. Faith is not convincing yourself that things don't exist, folks. It's when things do or when things do exist, it's not us saying that they don't exist. The Bible never really calls us out to ignore reality. We know what reality is. We're never to ignore that. Rather, we are to have our faith towards God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what the facts say. Faith is facing difficulty, but realizing that God is greater than that difficulty. That's what we are to do. You know, when other people say it's impossible, nothing's impossible with God. So in the case of Abraham, many would have thought that he was too old to have a child. Many would have thought that the hope was lost for Abraham to have a son, yet Abraham believed God in spite of the circumstances. It's like the old saying, don't look inward, you'll be disgusted. Don't look at others, you'll be disappointed. Don't look backward, you'll be defeated. Don't look at circumstances, you'll be disheartened. Don't look at blessings, you'll be diverted. Look at Jesus, you'll be delighted. And that's how we have to face all of our circumstances. Remembering what God can do, remembering what God has said, resisting the facts with faith. And then the last thing is we need to make sure that we expect God to act on his promises. You know, Abraham simply saying, I believe God, that was a great thing. But Abraham took it a step further. He said, I believe God and I expect God to keep his promise. He expected God to keep his promise. There in verse 20, in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, notice it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, there are people today who have been, I'll just go ahead and say it, they've been tricked into believing that you could lose your salvation. There are people today that, in fact, there are a lot of people today that believe that you could lose your salvation. I want you to read that verse again. Verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Let me ask you something. Did God promise that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Is that God's promise? Do you realize today if you take the idea that you could lose your salvation, do you realize that you're not being fully persuaded what he had promised he's able to perform? If you think that you could lose your salvation, what you're saying is this: God promised it, but he's not able to perform that. That's exactly what you're saying. That is the opposite of faith. That's the opposite of it. See, you're a person today who thinks that you can lose your salvation, don't they look at? They look at our own power, not the power of God, and they look at the facts. And they say, there's no way that I could possibly keep my salvation because I sin all the time. Do you think God knows that you sin all the time? Listen, like you've heard me say a million times, if you could lose your salvation, number one, you'd never get it back because God only died once. Number two, if you could lose your salvation, you was only saved probably in more than, what, 5 minutes before you had a thought that convicted you or an action that convicted you. The thing is we need to be fully persuaded that what God promised, He's able to do. Amen? He promised us everlasting life. He said, if you receive Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. That's the promise. And either believe He can do it or you don't. Amen? I believe God's going to keep His promise. I believe God is able to keep His promise. I believe, and listen, not only that, but I expect God to keep His promise. And so in spite of the facts, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God. He rested wholly on God's promise. As far as Abraham was concerned, there was only one impossibility, and that was for God to lie. Abraham expected God to act. Now, he did not know how God was going to do it. He just expected God to come through. And that's what we must do. Whenever we face a hopeless situation, we may not know how God's going to handle the thing. Whenever we come across a situation in life and it don't seem like there's any answers we have, when we ask God to handle it and we know that He said He'd take care of His children and we know that He's able to do it, you know what we're to do? We're just to just trust Him. Just trust Him. And we may not know how He's going to take care of the situation. You don't have to know how. We may not even know when God is going to take care of it. But we all know that God will always come through. He'll always come through. We must expect God to act. The only type of faith that will work when you reach one of those dead-end situations is faith in God. If you have faith in anybody else or anything else, when those situations come, that faith will fail. It will fail. Why? Because people can't do everything, but God can. People break promises all the time, but God never breaks a promise. God is able. God is able to keep His promises, and we should expect Him to keep His promises because He's the only one that we can count on to keep His promises. So when it comes to a situation, folks, where it seems like it's like there's just no hope, when it seems like there's just nothing else you can do, when all the facts say that there's no way that this can, you know, there are people that I have talked to whose loved ones were dying, and the doctor said, you know what, there's just no hope. There's just no hope. I knew a man, and I'll say this and I'll close. I knew a man here years ago. His name was actually Bob Bradley. And Bob Bradley was told years and years and years ago, he said, the doctor said, you have cancer and you're going to live for about maybe 6 months. And 6 months passed and he was still alive. Year passed, he's still alive. Had the cancer removed, cancer came back. And he continued to live for about 8-9 years after the doctor said that. Now, all the facts said he wasn't going to make it more than 6 months. All the doctors said, there's no chance for this man. He's done. Get your house in order. It's over with. But you know what? God thought otherwise. God trumped the facts. God showed a miracle. Many people were praying for him, and he lived about 8 years longer than what the doctor said he would. May I tell you, when you come across a hopeless situation like that, or any hopeless situation in your life, don't pay so much attention to what the facts say. You just trust God. You just trust that God is going to answer the prayers. You just trust God is able and expect Him. Expect Him to do what He promised. Are you facing some sort of situation tonight? If you are, just turn it over to the Lord and trust Him. Let's stand.